You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 22nd, 2021, Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, says, I have a bill that I think I'm going to get bipartisan support. Basically says within 90 days of the bill passing, if China is not allowed for a full, clear, transparent investigation as to how COVID started, we start sanctions against the people involved in sciences over there, those involved in the research, the institutions involved, will cut off any and all federal funding. I think we should do that anyway. In the meantime, there's not bipartisan support. In fact, they can't get enough support at this point to move forward, the Democrats, I should say, of trying to get their federal election law passed through. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said this is a radical partisan power grab. Democrats were hoping that Senator Joe Manchin would side with them and help get past the filibuster rule so they could get the bill passed. Not going to happen. Even CNN has had to point out it's a losing cause. Now, we are seeing, apparently, maybe some movement on the bipartisan infrastructure package. Some of Biden's top advisors headed over to Capitol Hill, even as I speak. They're trying to continue negotiations on this bipartisan infrastructure package. This is involving something like a $1 trillion framework in the last report around, less than what some of the Democrats wanted because we took out a lot of stuff that was just not going to have to do anything with infrastructure, and yet they're still trying to put more in. So I'm not so sure that's over either. We do know this. The U.S. Commerce Department saying it's rescinding that Trump list of prohibited transactions involving the Chinese-owned social media platforms TikTok and WeChat. There have been reports and concerns that China is pulling information off of those two and getting a lot of information about U.S. citizens. You talk about some people that are upset based off of this effort to get past the filibuster. There's an MSNBC analyst by the name of Michael Steele. You probably know that name. He said the ending the filibuster would be common sense. Well, that's certainly what liberal Democrats want to hear. And that's what he said. And Michael Steele, to remind you, in case you kind of know the name, but can't quite place him, he is a former Republican National Committee chair. So those remarks have entirely disgusted conservatives. New York, L.A., Baltimore, among the U.S. cities now reversing decisions and putting money back into their police departments because they've seen what happens when you pull the money out. They're backpedaling on vows to slash police budgets because residents are in uproar over crime surging. And in the meantime, President Joe Biden tomorrow will deliver a speech that will blame gun ownership for a dramatic increase in violent crime. Now, by gun ownership, does he mean legally owned guns or does he mean just anybody who has a gun? And we know many of those involved in some of these crimes, they didn't get the gun legally. They would not be able to get it legally. But it's another incursion, another effort to deal with the Second Amendment and make it invalid at the very least. The hot weather continues across the southern parts of the nation, and that's deadly for those illegals trying to cross into either Texas or Mexico, locked up in numerous vehicles, no air, very little water, heat. Then when they let them out, they're in the middle of nowhere. There are reports that deputies in one area have already found skeletal remains of at least 40 migrants recently. They had 150 found by the end of May in one area. And then you have comedian Bill Maher on his HBO Real Time program. He launched a tirade against California's water mismanagement and California's tendency to overregulate businesses and the lives of its residents. And he said, for a state that just loves to be up everybody's arse all the time, when it comes to regulations, either go big or go home, and I'm going to find a new home because my house is going to be outside California, is what he's suggesting. He's going to leave California, fed up with what's happening in California. Bill Maher, is there a joke there? I don't think I hear Governor Newsom and others laughing. Joke or for real? We'll watch. We'll see.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Worse than this. I mean, coronavirus is terrible. COVID has been terrible. It has killed people. You've seen what it's done to our society and our country and the world. The next one could be much deadlier, much more disruptive. People forget all this research that China does is still going on right now. They're doing.
That is Senator Marco Rubio about a bill that he's working on. He says you got to keep in mind what we've already been going through. He said, and the Wuhan lab is still operating. We don't know what they're doing in there. And the next thing that gets released by accident in parentheses, quotation marks, however you want to identify it, is maybe not exactly the best word if it's released intentionally. He said the next one could be far worse if this continues. I think we all have to acknowledge that. Now, let's just take a step back for a moment. Let's consider it was a true accidental release, and they were working on weaponizing or trying to find, as they call, gain of function for this virus. In other words, what other things can be done and how can it be done? Do you think that was underway and it just by accident got out? You remember there were three scientists that we didn't know about until recently. The New York Times reported it. I say we, the general public, didn't know about it. But you have to believe that those at a higher level and our government and elsewhere, and certainly I would assume Dr. Fauci, were aware that three scientists who had worked in that very facility all in November of 2019, all of them came down with flu-like symptoms. That's what they're saying, flu-like symptoms. And they went to the hospital to be treated for the flu. were they patients 0, 1, and 2 of the COVID outbreak? Well, we're not getting information from China. And in fact, China hasn't done anything. They supposedly let a World Health Organization group go in and take a look. Only one American was allowed to go inside. That is a guy now we know that he has his own conflicts of interest in running monies and lab work for the Chinese communist at Wuhan, Peter Daszak. He had been president of the EcoHealth Alliance. And the Chinese state-run media looked at him as their favorite COVID-19 expert because he has echoed the implausible claim from the Chinese government that all of this originated in another country and then imported into Wuhan, saying it, in fact, even Daszak had said, there was a virus from Thailand very close to this, also Japan, Cambodia. Maybe it came from those places. And don't forget China. China was even saying it probably started in the U.S., and they put it into our backyard. So we're not getting any real details or information. That is why Senator Rubio has a bill that he thinks he will get bipartisan support, and here's what he expects will happen if they get it passed.
So within 90 days of the bill passing, if China hasn't allowed for a full, clear, transparent investigation as to how this thing started, we start sanctioning people involved in the sciences over there, people involved in this research, the institutions involved in this research. We cut off any and all federal funding for any research that's gain of function or anything like it in conjunction with any of these agencies over there.
Well, that would be a good idea. In fact, I think we should have already done that. But apparently we haven't. So we had to have legislation to make it happen. You know, by decree, if Biden is looking for something to sign as an executive order, he could sign an executive order and say, no more funding, no more federal dollars to be sent to China for any of their lab work at Wuhan or any other lab work on behalf of China. And we talk about the sanctions that the bill would put into place. He said it would also began to stop a lot of Chinese coming into the U.S. to study at our universities. Because how much intel are they going back to their country with and going to use it against us? And in the meantime, against all of this, we have continuing concern about vaccinations. Have you considered if you're going to have your children or your grandchildren vaccinated? Or have you already? What about you? The younger adults, according to the CDC, the latest information from the CDC, if you want to take it by their facts, adults over 65 have the most vaccination coverage by May 22nd, 80% receiving at least one dose. Now, I told you I was not really going to get it. I only got it because my daughters insisted after a close relative passed away. They said he was younger than you and better health, and you only have one kidney, you had to promise us you're going to get it. And I make a promise to my daughters, I keep it. So I went ahead and got it. I've had both shots, and last one was a couple months or more later, so I never had any effects. That doesn't mean others won't. But according to the CDC, while we talk about those 65 and older, and I might be in that area, I'm not sure. They have received at least one dose. Those 18 to 29 have the lowest coverage of getting vaccinations, around 38%. And there's new concern out about those who have had the vaccinations. There have been more reports of heart inflammation involving some Pfizer Moderna vaccine recipients, especially males under the age of 30. And against that backdrop, there's still another story that's out that says there's something like 4,000 who have been immunized in one state that they have still come down with COVID. And we've got Dr. Fauci saying, if you're going to believe Dr. Fake now, Delta coronavirus variant is now doubling weekly, and now it amounts to 20% of samples. There's obviously concern for many. And then when it comes to children, do we know if they are going to have any long-term effects from it? Remember, all this stuff is rushed to market because they needed it. It was the WARP program. WARP speed, President Trump called it. Get it out, make it happen, which they did. And it probably has saved lives. Then there are others that are saying that maybe we're not seeing all the bad stuff at this point. And while Joe Biden is still trying to get more vaccinated, his goal was 70% of all American adults to get at least one dose by July 4th. Probably not going to happen, but about 65% have been. But these variants, be they Delta or some other term, they say they're going to be more transmissible, causing more serious illness. And now they're asking, would a flu shot help? And now comes word out of a healthcare system in Springfield, Missouri, they're seeing a spread of the variant such as Delta, a six-fold increase in hospitalizations within the Springfield, Missouri area. And here's the other thing. While we're in the midst of still battling this and trying to decide what can we do about it, what should we do, what do we trust doing, what might come back to hurt us if we get a shot, what might come back to hurt us if we don't get a shot, the Wuhan lab is still in operation. Listen to Senator Rubio.
Look, we already know enough about what happened in China, I think, to tell you they've done something wrong, which is they haven't allowed the world to fully understand how this thing began, and they've covered it up. Now, what it actually leads to, that's what the world needs to know, because the next one could be far worse than this. I mean, coronavirus is terrible. COVID has been terrible. It has killed people. You've seen what it's done to our society and our country and the world.
We know that, don't we? We know the effects on it, not just on our country and our nation, but the world itself. Be it released by a mistake or intent, and be it intending to weaponize, as they say, gain of function, and then it just happened to get out. And while I was talking to you a moment ago about this variant showing up in Springfield, Missouri, another story came to my attention. They're reporting in Colorado the Delta coronavirus is becoming the dominant strain. In fact, they're saying in Colorado it accounts for 40% of the cases in their state. Nationwide, the Delta variant, 20% of the cases. Michigan has finally opened up fully. How fast do you think they may shut down again? How about other cities and states? Do we shut everything down again? I don't think the public is going to be going for that. I don't think everybody wants to go through a lockdown again. What about masks? What do they tell you that even if you've had a vaccine because of these variants, now you're going to have to wear a mask? I mean, they've already been alluding to that anyway. We're getting mixed messages all the time from the White House and those who supposedly are in the know. A mask won't do any good. No, now you need two masks. Or if you get the vaccine, you don't need a mask. No, maybe if the vaccine, you also still need the mask. And speaking of masks, by the way, I told you this the other day, and I'm going to spend some more time on it, especially coming up later with my guests in the next segment, or not the next segment, but two segments away, and that'd be Dr. Rick Lehman, about this report on these masks that they tested in Florida. These were parents in Gainesville, Florida. They were worried about their children having to wear face masks through the school day in 90-degree heat. So some of the parents took six masks, five worn by children ages 6 to 11. Masks were worn from 5 to 8 hours at school. One adult wore a mask that they sent in. Now, you know there are different kinds of masks out there for you anyway. Three of them were surgical that they sent in. Two were made of cotton. One was a polyester type thing. And they also sent in masks that had not been worn, as kind of a controlled sample for the analysis. What they found, five of the masks contaminated with various parasites, fungi, bacteria. One found to have a virus that causes a fatal systemic disease in cattle and deer. Other less harmful pathogens causing ulcers, acne, strep throat also detected. One mother of three elementary school children said, I wanted to know what's happening with those masks because my sons, are breaking out in rashes all the time. And I think it's because of this prolonged mask wearing. They're in mask all day, 7 hours a day in school. The only time they get to take it off is to eat or drink. So the question is about, well, do we continue to put masks on kids? Should we? Should they get the shots? Is the Delta variant going to be a bigger issue for us? Well, again, Senator Rubio says, be ready for what could happen.
The next one could be much deadlier, much more disruptive. People forget all this research that China does is still going on right now. They're doing, as we speak, they're doing it today. It doesn't stop. This continues. For all we know, at this very moment, the next great pandemic is being developed inside of a Chinese laboratory. I remind everybody, coronavirus is bad. There are worse things out there that could leak out if that's the way this happened. We need to know, the world needs to know, because this is not a China issue. This is a global issue.
It is a global issue. And we do need to know, because what is happening now, you start replicating it, and we still don't have a clear understanding. If we're getting mixed signals from the science community, from Dr. Fake or the White House or CDC or radio talk show host, you need more and better information. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So a scientist, doctor writing for MedPage Today says, do we need to maybe have booster shots for those who've already had COVID-19 shots? Do we need additional booster shots? The attitude on this right now is, according to this doctor, that refrain, he says, is that we need to get ready for vaccine boosters to prevent a resurgence. He said that might happen. We simply don't know when. Right now, we need to still focus on vaccinating more people nationally and globally for the first time. And then we have the concern, he adds, from this Delta variant, first recognized in India, and then into the UK, and now in the U.S. And as I said in the preceding segment, CDC reporting that cases are breaking out in Springfield, Missouri, of the Delta variant. And some are saying it's worse than the original COVID. Some are saying not as bad. And again, it could come down to a personal thing. The other issue would be flu vaccination. Would that be a key to continuously, maybe not just boosters, but continuously keeping people vaccinated against this kind of stuff in the future? Now, every year that we've had flu vaccines released, for the most part, they have either missed the target because the flu they're trying to fight has changed. It became a different strain, so they weren't not that effective. But what they are finding now at this point, according to one report in the MedPage Today, seasonal influenza, has all but disappeared. They say we're seeing this disappearance as maybe a grave risk to global public health in general because it complicates the ability of certain countries to build back better and strengthen global health security and systems for the future, because normally they would at least be preparing for flu, but now they're not doing that. And if flu does come back around, when it boomerangs back, in the words of one author for MedPage, it's only rational to predict that it will become rapidly moving because it would hit the lower level population and maybe those who are already compromised, and low- and middle-income countries and populations all will be more subject to it. It's a vicious circle. And there's another thing that is facing us down the road when it comes to the cost of medicine. And that has to do with the issue of, as again, according to MedPage and the editors and doctors writing for that, and that is a long overdue rise of gender-affirming cases, saying that medicine's finally starting to catch up with the times, but it's a long ways to go. And this is written by a Dr. Peters, stating that there's much written about gender-affirming services and so forth. We are beginning to see more going to that direction. And I have to ask you, is that a good thing or not thing? If somebody really has conflicts inside themselves as to if they were born in one body and they feel like they're in another, I've told you before, I can't understand it, but I feel for them if they're that confused. And we have more and more young people deciding maybe gender transformation would change and solve my problems. And then down the road, how are they going to realize that was not a good decision? And can I go back? And often the answer might be no. Dr. Rick Lehman coming up, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. A lot of topics for him, including should college athletes get compensated by the colleges? Supreme Court says yes. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middle man.
This ain't no place for no hero to call home. This ain't no place for no. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Joining us now, Dr. Rick Lehman, head of the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Glad to have you on board, sir. Welcome again.
Thank you, Larry.
I got a lot of material to go through with you. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk, so I'm going to go at a pretty rapid pace, not trying to shortchange your answers, but a lot of material. Let's begin with you being obviously dealing with sports players at the pro amateur level as well. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling that NCAA restrictions, at least some of them, on student compensation violate federal antitrust laws. Your take?
Well, you know, I think this is a very bad way to go. I think trying to remunerate athletes who are amateurs for playing college sports when they're already getting a college scholarship is wrong. And I'm just not a fan of this whole contention that they should be paid for their service. Now, having said that, you know, I went to college on a sports scholarship. And I think that's right. You should get your scholarship, get your school paid for, play your sport, and I think that's all fair. But now people want to have sell their likeness, et cetera, and go down this path, and they don't want the remuneration limited, and I just don't see that.
This was a 9-0 decision on the court. I mean, it's a unanimous decision. Restrictions reference non-cash payments, computers, science equipment, just giving those.
Well, you know, and that's fine. And you can give them, you know, spending money, daily money, food money. You can give them all kinds of
stuff.
So
you're saying giving them some cash too, though. Is that right? You say that would be
no.
Oh no. Okay. All right. Okay.
I think you should give them their education. I think you should give them their books, just like we got. But I think to go on and on and on and give them jobs and do all these things. This is, and then it leads to we'll give them a car, and then it leads to we're going to give their grandmother a car. You know, where does it stop?
Well, the other side of that coin is that these colleges make a lot of money off these players, especially in football. They make a lot of money. You know that. They bring in all kinds of dollars and additional donors and additional recruits because it's a campaign that it's built to create money for the colleges and universities.
That's correct. Okay. So now you're deciding if you're going to go to Alabama or Clemson, and Nick Saban says, I'm going to give you a car, your mother a car, your sister a car, and your dad a house. And Clemson says, well, I can't do that, but I'll give mom and dad a car. You're buying athletes. I just don't see it.
Okay. And before I leave that, you don't think that it's also abusing the athletes by utilizing their name and selling pictures and their images and so forth and all the money going to the college?
You know what? I think after the fact, once an athlete decides that he's going to go to, you know, Mizzou, and they want a revenue share, a likeness, a revenue share, some of the sponsorship, I have no problem with that. But what I have a problem with is trying to lure athletes, Cam Newton giving his dad $300,000 so he'll go to college. That's what I have a problem with. But I think once the athlete is already signed on, I don't really have a problem with revenue sharing money directly related to that athlete. I think that's fine. That's not what we're talking about.
Okay. The Olympics looks like we're going to see more and more transgenders coming forward this time. New Zealand is allowing a transgender for the first time to compete in the women's weightlifting team for Tokyo 2020. And the 43-year-old says, I'm grateful and humbled by the kindness. And in 2015, as you well know, the International Olympic Committee changed its rules to allow transgenders to compete as long as testosterone levels below a certain level and maintain for a year. Does that still make an even playing field?
I'm on the wrong side of this one too, Larry. I'm 0-2. I just think males should compete in male sports, females should compete in female sports, and transgenders should compete in transgender sports. And I think we should not be allowing men. That, have you seen that person? That person looks like a male.
Yeah.
And didn't even grow their hair. I mean, they look like a male. So just because you feel like a female one day shouldn't mean that you should be able to compete as a female if you're a male. I think there should be a special category for transgenders either way, and that should be what the rules are. But I don't think it's fair to take a spot from a woman who's worked her whole life when a male can come in, and it just tells you the guy's 43 years old and he's competed as a female when a male can come in, and obviously is going to have a huge advantage, muscle mass, strength, fast switch fibers, et cetera. So, again, I just don't see it. I don't think that's right.
Well, you know the argument that's made in this, well, we're trying to be inclusive. But when they're that inclusive, they're also excluding those who have worked hard to be in that position and opportunity for a gold medal that are that the gender competing in their own gender class.
Well, let's take it one step further. Let's say that in the women's 100-meter dash, there was nothing but transgender males. Who do you think is going to win the 100? Do you think there's a woman in the world that could win the 100-meter dash against eight transgender 22-year-old men? There's no chance. So you know, if your daughter worked as hard, like you said, got a chance at the Olympic trials and three men got the spots, if we continue down this path and they're all transgenders, you know, again, I think transgenders have every right to participate, and I think they should participate, and I think we should be inclusive, but they should have their own category. Women that went to men should have a category. Men that went to women should have a category. And I just like we have Paralympics, we have people that have special needs. Those people, you know, shouldn't compete against regular people. That's not fair. Well, this isn't fair.
You're listening to Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. One other point on this before we leave, because, and I didn't want to get too deep in the bushes on this one, in the sense that where it's too scientific for a lot of folks, but I just said that they have a determining criteria that a maximum reading of 10, was it nanomoles per liter of testosterone, that's five times more than a biological woman, that a man could compete if their reading is at a certain level. Does that do anything to make it more even?
I think it helps a little bit, but look at the muscle mass of I mean, there's a lot of people out there with free testosterone and total testosterone 200 that are in the gym every day lifting weights that are ripped up that would win that competition in the female category hands down. So just because you've been taking hormone replacement and you bumped your hormones down, that doesn't mean that your total mass structure is any different and that your strength's any different. If you keep lifting weights, you're going to have a lot of strength. So it's specious from a scientific standpoint as well.
Okay, let me move on to the COVID issues. There's first of all, the American Journal of Therapeutics is coming out that a clinical trial use of ivermectin, is that right? The parasite?
Ivermectin.
Ivermectin, that it could be very effective in battling or holding off COVID. We've talked about this before. Is it now suddenly going to be more acceptable?
Well, you know, every time you talk about hydroxychloroquine or any of these that are not the high expensive medications that have been
Pfizer, Moderna, yeah.
You know, it's not a popular topic, but ivermectin has been shown in other situations to be very effective against COVID. So, in my opinion, I think it's fair game. I think it probably does work. No one's going to make any money on it. It's been out there forever. It's anti-parasitic. And so, yes, I think in countries like India that have no money, have no way they can spend money on IV infusions on some of these medications, this would be very, very effective. And I think that's what we should be looking at. And I think in rural areas and people that are less fortunate, I think this is a very, very good alternative. And I think the studies along the way have shown that. It's just not a popular thing to say right now.
I think I saw that in one state, I'm cannot get the information in front of me. I want to say Minnesota, maybe Iowa, something. Basic line was 4,000 who have been fully vaccinated suddenly are showing positive for COVID. So are the doses not effective, or do they need boosters? What do you see happening? And the Delta variant.
Okay, yeah, exactly. You hit the nail on the head. I think you have some variants. I think you have viruses that are going to continue, just like all viruses, to change. And as these viruses continue to change, like all viruses, influenza A and influenza B, possibly some of the vaccinations, specifically the J&J being less effective and the AstraZeneca being less effective. So, you know, they say that some of these are 95%. I've talked to ER doctors, and there's a disconcerting number of them that will tell you that they are seeing quite a few cases of vaccinated people coming in with COVID. So I don't think, you know, I think the jury's out, and I think we're going to see a significant number of people. Now, the deal is you're supposed to have a much less severe course if you've been vaccinated, and I think that's also true.
All right.
I think the idea that we're not going to see it is wrong.
All right. In the final 30, 40 seconds here, in Gainesville, Florida, they did a test on masks worn by kids. They were finding all kinds of things, various illnesses and fungi and so forth inside the mask because they're wearing them on a consistent basis. Everything from pathogens of lead to diphtheria, pneumonia, meningitis, and so forth.
Absolutely. So they cultured these masks, and they found that they had all kinds of organisms, just like you said. Again, I think little kids should take their masks off. I mean, I just don't see it. And they are harboring all kind of bacteria. You're 100% right.
Well, we covered a lot of territory, and as always, I appreciate you being with us.
we did.
I still have another stack here, but I don't have another 5 minutes. But I do appreciate your time. Glad to have you back on board with us, sir.
Anytime, Larry. Invite me back.
You bet. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Coming up, this 9-year-old that spoke out at the school board meeting. Some are asking, did the 9-year-old really write? Could a 9-year-old actually write? Well, we know the 9-year-old delivered it because we see it. But aside from the age and if she could or couldn't, the issue she raises, how accurate is she? Certainly within her school district, it appears to be accurate. We got more to come on that story. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. The other day I was walking down the hallway at Lakeview Elementary School to give a teacher a retiring gift. I looked up onto the wall and saw a BLM poster and an Amanda Gorman poster. In case you don't know who that chick is, she's some girl who did a poem at Biden's so-called inauguration. I was so mad. I was told 2 weeks ago at this very meeting spot, no politics in school. I believed what you said at this meeting. So at lunch, I went up to my principal to tell him about the BLM poster and that I wanted it down. He said it's not coming down. I was like, yeah, it is, because the school board said on May 25th, no BLM or politics in school. He said, that's weird. They were the ones who made them. I was stunned. When I was here 2 weeks ago, you told us to report any BLM in our schools. Apparently, you know they're in our schools because you made the signs.
Her name goes by Novalee. I have not seen the full name anywhere. She's not been interviewed by anyone that I've seen yet that I would trust. She's 9 years old, and that supposedly is her statement about political posters, naming Black Lives Matter as a political poster, being displayed in her school. And she did use some references, which certainly shows she has been influenced by others when she referenced the Amanda Gorman calling her a chick who read a poem at so-called Biden's inauguration. That phrasing right there suggests if she made up the wording and chose her own words, or if they were kind of suggested to her, I don't know. I do know kids at that age, 8, 9, I taught my children to think, get off of emotions. You have an argument, think, lay it out for me, present it. And I was impressed with some of them. I still wouldn't grant them what they wanted sometimes, but at least they can reach that. So I'm not saying she couldn't have done this on her own, but obviously some influence is there when she refers to the so-called Biden inauguration. But let's go back to the issue of what, and here's something else that she raised that a lot of folks are questioning. Go ahead.
We all understand the meaning. It is a political message about getting rid of police officers, rioting, burning buildings down while King Governor Waltz just sits on his throne and watches. We all know. Changing the font or the color of posters does not change the meaning. I am 9 years old and I know that. You expect me to believe that you did not know what you were doing by making these posters? Come on, people.
Well, now, several things there let's take a look at. When she refers to King Walsh, she's talking about the governor. Sits on his throne and watches. Obviously, again, there's some influence in her life from her parents or others. They have, obviously, political views that differ from the governor. And when she said the Black Lives Matter means only one thing, getting rid of police officers, rioting, burning buildings down, it does not necessarily mean only that. Some have taken it that way. Some have put it that way. But I'll quote you from Brandon Tatum. He's an author of an upcoming book, Beaten Black and Blue, Being a Black Cop in America Under Siege. And he says, yes, all of this defund the police movement that came out of BLM, he said, is an agenda to completely destroy and dismantle local police departments. Now, that's his opinion. And then she quotes Dr. Martin Luther King.
MLK said, I have a dream that one day my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That dream has come true. I do not care or look at the color of skin, but you make me think of it. I have Asian, Mexican, white, Chinese, black friends, and I don't care. I like them because some of them make me laugh, some are sweet and kind, sporty, or share the love of God. They are just my friends.
To that extent, I would like to think we could all agree. And I know 8, 9-year-olds that could have that same attitude. Could they express it as directly and profoundly as she did? I don't know. But at least the kids are looking at each other as kids, not a color, which is good, isn't it? And she fired one more salvo at the school board members.
You have lied to me, and I am very disappointed in all of you. You cannot even follow your own rules. If you're going to do that, why do we follow any rules we deemed unfit or ridiculous? I'm not following your mask rule anymore, then. Get the posters out of our schools. Courage is contagious, so be courageous.
All right, the last line is, I think we could learn all from that. Decide any other things you may question or agree or disagree with her. Courage is contagious, so be courageous. That would be good for all of us. Now, in up against that story, out of Silverton, Colorado, there was a meeting of the city board. And the president of the city board said, we're not going to have the mayor said, we're not going to have the Pledge of Allegiance anymore at the start of our meetings. Because, he said, due to direct and indirect threats, inappropriate comments in and out of public meetings, general divisiveness, issues created in our community, we will not be reciting the Pledge of Allegiance during our Town of Silverton trustee meetings. So the pledge was going to be denied, not going to start the meeting. Well, the idea was met with resistance. Attendees started standing up and reciting it loudly. The mayor tried to interrupt them, and even more stood up and said it. The mayor said, you're out of order. Well, they continued to stand up and do it. They didn't do anything. The mayor didn't take any action. He said, but next time I will. Not going to allow the Pledge of Allegiance. It's divisive. The flag's divisive. Everything's divisive. This is not bringing us together, folks. Can we remember one thing, though, from the pledge? Can I say that one thing? One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.